You're listening to the River Amsterdam podcast with Pastors Ben and Jackie. We pray today's episode will encourage and empower you wherever you're listening from.
Let's jump right in. Thanks for all you have been humble enough to share it. That's great. We're going to talk about humility today, the road to greatness.
Yes.
And this is such a great topic because humility, it really is a key that you and I can apply that opens the door to so many great blessings. We're living in a world where people are all fighting for themselves and it's like self-promotion universe kind of thing, you know, where everybody is out to like climb their ladder and be the biggest, be the great. But the Bible way is completely the other way. Jesus said, the greatest among you will be your servant. And by serving, by pouring out your life, you're actually finding your life. And like God brings promotion. So Humility is such a great, great virtue. So us developing that, all of us developing that in our life is going to greatly enrich our lives.
Amen.
And we're going to talk in the end of this broadcast, we're going to talk about four different blessings and benefits and rewards that come from humility.
And there are more. We just chose four. If not, we'd be here all day.
We can. So you're going to start walking in that. It's going to greatly enrich your life. And on top of that, it's going to enrich the people around you, their life.
That's right.
It's going to make you a better friend. It's going to make you a better father or mother and a better Christian. And God rewards us for good behavior. So that's so awesome about our God. Other gods you got to do all kinds of stuff for and you never know if they're happy with you. But our God, you know, God the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost, He's already happy with us. And then He says, like, when you do right, basically, He rewards those who diligently seek Him. When we seek first the kingdom of God, all these blessings come on us and overtake us. So there's all these blessings that God has in store for those who obey Him and who serve Him and who walk in uprightness and in righteousness. And that is such a joy because then the thing becomes, instead of like this like book of heavy loads, it becomes a book of instruction of how to succeed in life and how to live life to the max and live the abundant life that God has meant for us to live. Mm-hmm. So that's why we encourage people weekly, you know, to get into the Word, because the Word is exactly that. It plants something inside of you that after you live, Jesus said, blessed are you if you hear my words and you do them, because then your house is solid and you're standing on a rock and nothing can move you. Mm-hmm. And that's basically a picture of your life. When you hear the Word of God and you start doing the Word of God, your life becomes a success and a blessing and everything starts prospering. Mm-hmm. And that's a joyful life. Jesus said, I came so that you can have life and life more abundantly. So ultimately, that's what God wants for us, that our joy will be full. And humility is a master key, because through humility, we gain access to learning, to wisdom. And with wisdom comes honor and all these different things. So we'll jump into that right now before I get too much ahead of everything.
So we're going to go into first, just our introduction is basically talking about the importance of humility. And of course, everything that we're called to do, Jesus is our perfect example of that.
Yeah.
So through humility, Jesus paid the price for our sins. And He was the first and greatest example of that. So I'm going to ask you to go with me to Philippians 2, 5 through 11. And I'm going to read that. It says, you must have the same attitude, that's Philippians 2, 5 through 11, that Christ Jesus had. Though He was God, He did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, He gave up His divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When He appeared in human form, He humbled Himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated Him to the place of highest honor and gave Him the name above all names, and that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should declare that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So Jesus, the importance of humility is we're trying to be just like Jesus. We want to, you know, but Jesus humbled Himself in the greatest way, to the point of a criminal's death, to the point of death, so that He would reap us. And I mean, that's amazing.
Through His humility, Him coming off His throne in heaven and lowering Himself all the way to earth, And on top of that, all the way down to the cross where he died a criminal's death, like the Bible says there, getting spit on, getting beaten up, getting mocked at, getting made fun of. He didn't even complain about it. He just did it.
Yeah.
And guess what? It paid the price for our sin, and it opened the door for our salvation.
Yes.
So what a huge realm of blessings was opened through one man's humility. Of course, the Son of God. But then secondly, through humility, we receive that gift of salvation. So even though Jesus did all that for us, it only the humble person
can receive it. Yes.
There's this Indiana Jones movie, and it's like this obstacle thing that he has to go through, and it's like this sword that just flies, and he has to go through that door, but there's no way he can get through. But then the clue is, only the penitent man shall pass. Yeah. In other words, only the humble man can get through. So he's thinking about it, and then he has to like get on his face and like crawl through like this, slide through, and then the sword just shoots right over his head, but it won't hit him because he has lowered himself. And that's basically what the way of salvation is too. It's like the Bible says in 1 Corinthians, it says that through the foolishness of preaching, we get saved, you know, by believing it.
Yeah.
And Jesus rejoiced. He said, Father, I thank you that you've hidden these things from the wise and you've made them available to the childlike, to people of a humble heart.
Yeah.
That don't look at it as foolishness. They say, man, I need a savior.
Yeah.
I need someone to take away my sin. I can't do this thing on my own.
Yeah.
And the world looks at that. Pride looks at that and says, oh, well, you're
I'm
weak.
I'm self-made man.
I'm self-made. God is a crutch for weak people.
Yeah.
No, you're prideful.
Yeah.
And really, the end of that will show, you know, at the end of your life. Because
if
you don't repent, everything hidden will be exposed at one point. So humble people can receive salvation, and then as well, humble people, through humility, we receive everything else that God makes available.
Amen.
You know?
Yeah.
Without humility, you can't receive.
Mm-hmm.
Pride always wants to do everything itself, but humility knows how to receive. And then the last one is, through humility, we position ourselves to impact our generation. And we'll get into that now when we talk about how the Bible says, for instance, in 1 Peter 5:5, it says that God opposes the proud, but he gives grace. He promotes and favors the humble.
Mm-hmm.
So you either have God resisting you or you have God lifting you.
Yeah.
So through that promotion that God gives, you're positioned to impact your generation. And you can never do that on your own. You need God's help for that.
Mm-hmm.
And humble people are humble enough to realize that they need God in their life, that they need his help, that they need his grace, that they need his favor.
Yeah.
So that's what we're talking about.
And it's something
today
you can cultivate. Let's say you say, man, well, I don't have... You can cultivate that. First, when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit comes on the inside of you, and then you have available to you all of the gifts, all of the fruit of the Spirit. And really, when that's cultivated in your life, when you cultivate that fruit, the fruit of love, the fruit of patience, then immediately that will basically transcend in every area of your life, and it will also transcend into this, in humility, because you know humility is based out of basically loving. You know, when you love, then you prefer others. When you love, when you're walking, and Jesus, it's amazing, because some of the things in the Bible, basically everything in the Bible that he asks from us to do, he already did, and he's equipped us to do it.
Wow.
So it's not like he's telling, you know, it's not like all these verses about humility or humbling yourself or choosing the lower route. It's not to harm you, it's to benefit you. It's because there are rewards when you do it God's way. And he's equipped you by his Holy Spirit, by his word, by the fruit of the Spirit being cultivated in your life. You're already equipped, and it's already on the inside of you. It's just a matter of pulling those things out and yielding to that. So we're going to go into, I want to read this scripture. It's Colossians 3:12. It's so good, and it's good for everybody. It says, since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves. Mm-hmm. Somebody say, clothe yourselves. Everybody has to put clothes on in the morning.
Nasty, put some clothes.
No. You know, you have to put clothes on every single morning. So it says, clothe yourselves with what? With tender-hearted mercy, with kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, So we need to. So basically, our question is: Are we properly clothed when we get out? You know, as a Christian, are you properly clothed? Are we properly clothed with these things? Kindness, humility, gentleness. And today we're just focusing on humility. But humility basically treats people with kindness. It treats people with love. It extends grace. Even when you might be cranky at someone, you just, okay, I gotta let that go. You gotta let things slide. You gotta forgive. You gotta forget. You gotta be gracious. And
regardless of their position too. Because sometimes what pride does is like, oh, you're just, I don't need you in my life. I don't need anything from you, so I'm just going to totally ignore you. I'm going to talk to people that I can get something from.
Yeah, that's a bad motive.
Yeah, that's totally terrible. But it happens so often, even within the church, you know. It's like we're self-seeking in a way, you know. Mm-hmm. But humility looks at everyone, and everyone is important. Yes. Everyone is the same. Everyone is a person of value. And really, a humble person can learn from everyone.
Yes, that's good.
You never done learning, you know, and God can use any, like you can learn from your kids, you can learn from anyone. So, but you see so many, you see people like, I had it, it's like before I became a pastor, it's like certain people wouldn't treat me, like wouldn't even pay attention to me. Then I became a pastor, all of a sudden they start seeking me out. Those same people, they start seeking me out, they want to like, oh, and then maybe an open door to preach or whatever. Then all of a sudden they come like swarms around me and like, it's like, what is your motive? Yeah. What is the problem with you? You
and
know,
most
like,
people won't come. No, yeah, because if you treat, you know, if you treat someone like when you're in a different position and you treat like the servant, like let's say the waiter at the restaurant or something, if you treat them like rubbish, you know, and let's say God were to promote them, they're never going to see you as a person of character. You know, that's why it's so important as Christians that we, wherever we go, treat people with love, treat people the same. Not because we want something from them, because that's Christ-like.
It's just our nature.
Yeah, it's our nature. It's who we are. It's not that I'm going to treat this one better than that one because this one can do something for me, you know? But that we learn to treat, and the Bible really talks about that, about not having favorites, even in the church, you know? It talks about don't be like those people that put the people that are in fine apparel up at the front and then, you know, the like basically talking about favoritism. Don't favor one over the other, but, you know, love everyone the same.
Show honor where honor is due.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And that's
also doesn't mean they're all like the same. No. That's not what we're saying.
No, not at all.
What we're saying is like, just because somebody can give you something that you want or need, you shouldn't treat them differently.
Yeah, you don't have that motive.
You should treat everyone with honor and respect and dignity and kindness, you know?
Yeah.
And when you live like that, it actually
attracts.
God sees that, you know? Mm-hmm. God sees you, because we have a God we can't see. So God doesn't really look at how you treat him. Of course, he looks at that. But then he also looks at how we treat other people that we can see. And really is a reflection of how you're serving God, you know? Mm-hmm. Because he said, love God first, and then secondly, love others, you know? And if you treat others with contempt or arrogance or disdain or whatever, then he's like, hey, that's not right. I can't promote that. So if we want to be promoted in the kingdom of God, then we have to be servants. I gave David Gasser here this scripture earlier to write down in his memorization book. I'm just teasing. I'm just messing around. But Romans 12:16, it says, don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people, and don't think you know it all. And of course, nothing to do with David at all.
No.
But it says, don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. You know, you got to look at everyone and see, and you got to be a person that can relate with every kind of person. Because that's what Jesus did. Jesus was the same amongst the poor, amongst the rich, amongst the influential, amongst the beggar, amongst the leper, amongst at Pilate. He was the same as he was with the woman with the issue of blood. You know, he was exactly the same with everyone because the character of God, he said, I am God, I change not.
Mm-hmm.
And that's true humility as well. It's like not thinking more highly of yourself than you are, but also not with that, not looking down on anyone, and also not looking up at certain persons because of their thing, but just treating people with honor and respect. Mm-hmm. All right. Then this next one is, you know, are you properly clothed? Of course, humility has a serving attitude. It's not self-seeking. Love does not seek its own, you know? Humility is, Jesus said, the greatest among you will be your servant, serving people. See, the problem with pride is that it's too prideful to recognize its own pride. Did I say that right?
Yeah.
It's like, it's so hard to convince a prideful person that there's pride in their heart because they are too prideful to admit anything wrong with themselves. You know, a humble heart is quick to learn, quick to change. It's teachable. It's serving. It's got this attitude where like it's correctable. You know, pride is just set in its ways. Nobody can tell me anything. Yeah. I'm gonna do what I know it already. Highway. I already know. I know best. No one can tell me anything. Mm-hmm. They don't even recognize that because they are so stuck in their idea of I'm right that they can't. They're not humble enough to realize, hey, I might have an opportunity to learn something. When God was leading Israel through to the promised land, he led them through a desert. And in the desert, he said, you were humbled there so that you would recognize that you don't live by bread alone, but you live by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So what it taught them, it was like, we can't be independent. In the land of blessing that God is taking us, we live in dependence on him. I have a need for God. I can't do this thing on my own. I need him in my life. God, I need everything you can give me. And God doesn't really need anything I can give him. So I need him in my life. And then at the end he said, I taught you this so that you would learn. And in the end, when I've blessed you exceedingly, you wouldn't say in your heart, my might, the power of my hand has gotten me to this place. But that you would boast in the Lord. Mm-hmm. See, pride thinks it's all him, you know, I'm self-made, it's self-seeking, it's self-righteous, it's self, all these things, self, you know, but humility recognizes God is my source, God is the one who promoted me, God is the one who favored me, God is the one who brought me to this place, mm-hmm. and then it boasts in the Lord.
Mm-hmm. C.S. Lewis said this, I wrote this down, humility is not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less.
That's good.
C.S. Lewis said, humility is not thinking less of yourself, so we don't want to get into that. Where you think, oh, I'm so low. Because some people picture humility as in like, I'm just a worm in the dust. That's also not good. That's not a good, you need to be
That's
confident.
That's false humility.
That's false humility. You need to be confident in who God made you. You need to be confident in the giftings and that you're precious in his sight, that you have something to give to
That's
the world
good.
Around you. So don't think that it's like, oh, you need to walk around. Like, no, you need to walk around tall. You need to walk around confident. God is with you. He who's in you is greater than he who's in the world. You need to be excited about life and stuff like that. But it's thinking of yourself less. It's basically preferring your neighbor. And I've said this many times, but there was a time where I'm a kind of like a go-getter person, and I like to get things done like as soon as possible. And so I remember there was one time I was reading along these lines, and the Holy Spirit just would tug on me and be like, why do you have to be the first one to go into the elevator? Like, you know, when there's a line and there's like an elevator. And it's like, because I need to get to the next place, you know, like as soon as possible.
I got somewhere to go.
I got somewhere to go. I got things to do. And then, but then it was like a constant thing, like, oh, why are you the first one out of the elevator? You were the first one in, now you're the first one out. Like, why aren't you preferring those around you? You know, well, I have things to do. But it was just like a lesson learned. Like, don't just always think about how you can, you know, what's best for you, but consider those around you. So it took everything in me to let other people go out of the elevator. Some people are really slow. You know, like if you go to the Biocorp or something, and some people are just like taking their time and you just want to be like, dude, hit the gas. Like, we got to go. You know, but it's just like this patience and this, like, you know, the Lord just working on you on different things. So it sounds funny, but it is important to know that humility isn't about, like, putting yourself down, but it's just about, you know, preferring others, looking out for what's going to benefit others.
Kenneth Copeland said something so good. Yeah. I get this daily email from him, like mm-hmm. a devotional thing. And today, actually, in the email today, it said this. It says, humility is not false humility, where you put yourself down, like you're saying.
Yeah.
Humility is what the Bible says, submit to God.
Yes.
Resist the devil, he will flee
yes.
from you. And then it says that the humble will be exalted. So he said, humility is submitting to what God says about you.
Yes.
So it's humble to say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. The world will say, well, you just prideful. Who do you think you are? Mm-hmm. What are you saying about your... Like what David's brothers told him when he was facing Goliath. He said, I'll take this thing out by the power of God. You know, I'll take this giant out. His brothers were like, oh, you're just arrogant. You're just youthful. You're just think all this of yourself. He wasn't boasting in himself. He was boasting in what God had already said about him and about Israel. So humility is accepting what God has said about you and agreeing with that, submitting yourself to that, even though it might not feel like that. And even though you might like, oh, well, it's just accepting what God says about you and walking in that.
Yeah, amen. Okay, we're going to get into the blessings of humility. We chose four. Number one is humility brings favor.
Favor.
1 Peter 5:5, we read it earlier, I believe. In the same way, you who are younger must accept the authority of the elders and all of you. Dress yourselves in humility as you relate to one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives favor to the humble. So favor comes by humbling yourself. God resists the proud, but he gives grace. He gives favor to the humble. And it's better to humble yourself than to be humbled. Don't be one of those people that pray, Lord, humble me. No, girl, guy, humble. Take my advice.
Humble yourself.
Don't tell God to humble you. You just get it together. You get in your room. You tell yourself, listen, you need to get it together. You need to humble yourself. You need to forgive. You need to let go, whatever it is. And you do it. Don't be praying those prayers. God, humble me.
Sharon, we'll pray for your son at the end.
Yes, okay, we'll definitely pray.
Definitely pray for him.
Definitely, most definitely.
Pray the peace of God in your
Thank
house.
Thank you for letting us know, and we'll definitely pray.
Humility brings favor.
Yes, and then Proverbs 3:34 says, he mocks proud mockers, but shows favor to the humble and oppressed. He mocks the proud, but he shows favor to those who are humble. So that's good. So if you're humble, say, favor's coming my way. I'm humble. This is the blessings that come from being humble. So I expect favor. I expect blessing. I thank you for your grace that's extended on me in every aspect of life.
I was thinking about Joseph, you know, Joseph, he was, of course, he had all these dreams and stuff like that. And he started blurting out all his dreams to his brothers. And really, it looked like a little bit of pride. And of course, it was what God had put in his heart. But he wasn't using a lot of wisdom in the way he was going about, like, fulfilling those dreams. Mm-hmm. So everyone got irritated with him and they sold him into slavery. But then you see this process starting where Joseph is just like, this character and this humility Amazing. Is being developed and just it shows forth from his life. And even in Potiphar's house, you know, he gets sold as a slave in there. He's in that house as a slave. But then through his humility and through his serving attitude, guess what? Potiphar is seeing the blessing of God come on his house, you know, and he recognizes it coming from Joseph's presence. You know, Joseph had humbled himself. He could have sit there in Potiphar's house with this stink attitude to God, to people, to his family. You know, I could have said, well, this sucks, you know, complaining, all these different things. It doesn't show any of that. What does it show? Joseph just picked up from day one and he just gets up and he starts serving with humility.
Amazing.
Doing his best, being his best, excelling. And what is he doing? In other words, he's just humbling himself under the mighty hand of God.
And in the natural, people might have looked from the outside and it looked like he was going down.
People were pushing him down.
Yeah, yeah.
But whatever God is blessing, what God is favoring, no one can keep pushing. It's going to come up. Yeah. You know, the path of the upright is like a shining light, shining brighter and brighter.
Yes.
So people were opposing him.
Yeah.
But he just kept humbling. See, there's always this fight. Are you going to fight for yourself? You know, to push yourself back up?
Mm-hmm.
Or are you humbling yourself under his hand, under God's mighty hand, expecting him to promote you?
Yeah.
You know, I think there's such a blessing in that, in just expecting it from God, knowing and being confident, okay, this dream was from God, this is what God called me to do, this is who he called me to be, he placed me here, then it's his job to also bring me to that place.
Yes.
My job is to just humbly serve him, serve the people around me, stay faithful, rejoice, love, you know, give, whatever, be a blessing right here, excel, do my best, and then God sees that and God rewards that, God promotes that.
Yes.
There's many people stuck in a place where you know there's bigger things for your life, but you're stuck in the place where you are now because you've sat there and you've said, well, this sucks. This is not what God had me. And you've developed a bad attitude towards God and also towards your situation right now. But God says, just humble yourself under my hand. Expect it from me. Every day, wake up. just praising God, worshiping God, thanking Him for today, that His mercy is new every morning, that His favor is coming your way, and that even though it might not all look like you're going towards your dream, that God is in charge of your life, and He will bring you that place. So He's in Potiphar's house. Potiphar can't deny. He's like, man, this guy, and he puts him in charge. He gives him favor. See, favor with God also gives you favor with men.
Yes.
Even with heathens, even with anyone, God doesn't matter.
Even at your workplace,
He can use anyone. You know, so He'll favor you right there because you're humbling yourself under God's mighty, and He makes Joseph ruler over his whole household. Yeah.
Which brings us to the next point. The next point is humility brings promotion and honor. That story shows, like what you were saying, it shows both aspects of these two first points, because the first one is he found favor in Potiphar's and then he got promoted. So that brings us to number two, which is humility brings promotion and honor. In Luke 14:11, it says, "For all those who exalt themselves," that's why I said, just humble yourself, "will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. And then Proverbs 15:33 says, "Wisdom's instruction is to fear the Lord, and humility comes before honor." So you saw that in that story. I mean, he humbled himself, and then he was honored. He got exalted above what is norm.
And then he goes down even more, down to the prison, you know? Like, he gets kicked out of there for unjust reasons, you know? They lie about him again, and again, down he goes, you know? But what does he do? He keeps humbling himself. He keeps...
Amazing.
Expecting it from God. Also in the prison, he rises up, and then from the prison, bam, in one shot, all the way up to the palace, you know, to stand in front of Pharaoh and to be second in command over the greatest kingdom of that world, of the world, in that day, you know. The only way that can happen is, and you see it when he stood before Pharaoh ultimately, you know, after all that process of all those years of just humbly serving God and serving people and being his best, what happened? He stood before Pharaoh, and Pharaoh said, "Joseph, I've heard about you that you can interpret dreams." And you know what he says? He says, there is no man in this world that can have the power to do that. But my God, whom I serve, he has the power to tell you your dream." So what does he do?
Yes.
He went from like, "I got all these dreams and you all gonna bow down before me," to God is the one.
Yeah.
It all comes from him.
Amen.
I'm just a tool in his hand, you know. His favor is upon my life, and God will show us, you know. But it's just like you hear a totally different man speaking. Mm-hmm. And what is the big difference? The big difference is humility exuding from his voice.
Yes.
Knowing it was not my power, not the might of my hand,
Amen.
Not my strength, not my smart ideas. All my ideas come from the Lord. All my success, all promotion, it all comes from the Lord. The Bible says in the Psalms that promotion doesn't come from the east or from the west, but God brings kings up, God brings kings down. Mm-hmm. It all comes from the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, so, and the road to promotion. See, Jesus, when he said, "The greatest among you will be your servant," he never said it's bad for you to desire to be great. He didn't say that. He even told, God told Abraham, "I will make your name great. I will bless you. I will multiply you exceedingly." You know, so that's in God's plan, that we are a blessing to our generation, that the name of the Lord is glorified through our lives. But it's not by us shouting louder and us climbing higher, but what is it? By us pouring out our life in service to our generation and to humanity, and in service to God, basically just saying, "Lord, at your service, here I am, use me. Here I am, whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to say, not my will, your will be done. I'm your vessel, you fill me up. I empty myself of me, you fill me up with you, and I expect you to use this treasure in this earthen vessel." It's just an earthen vessel, but you've put your treasure in there.
Amen.
And it will, that attitude will bring promotion. And
yeah, and then listen to this. Psalms 149:4 says, "He crowns the humble with victory."
Come on, son.
That just brings some joy. He crowns the humble with victory. And then Philippians 2, we've already read earlier, but it says, "Because Jesus humbled himself, God exalted him so far that he got the name above all names."
Jesus just basically said, the Bible says, you know, "Sacrifice for sin you didn't desire, but a body you prepared for me." And from that body, Jesus said, "Here am I to do your will, O Lord." And he took his life and he brought it low. He humbled himself so much, even to the point of death, that the Bible says, therefore, because he humbled himself, God exalted him He humbled himself beyond any other person has ever humbled himself.
That's right,
And God exalted him and gave him the name above all names. Why? Because he humbled himself.
Yeah.
So, and God gives us the same road that through humility, he says, I'll lift you, I exalt you, I'll make you a blessing.
And how does this look like in your personal life? You know, like this could be maybe in your marriage, you know, where you just need to make the decision to humble yourself, to be quiet. You know, the Bible talks about the wives submitting to your husbands, you know, and really we submit to each other, but wives submit to your husbands and men love the wives. So like this works in every aspect of life. I don't want to put it out there where you're like, how does this work in my daily aspect? It works in your marriage. It works in your daily workplace. If your boss is talking rubbish about you, things maybe coming against your character, that you're doing things that are not in line with the law, but you are doing things appropriately, whatever it is, you make the decision in those times where you say, well, I can speak up right now and defend myself and fight, you know, with my mouth. I can tell him off and tell him no, blah, blah, blah. But, or you can make
I don't deserve this. Yeah. I have right for better. Yeah, deserve better.
Yeah. Or you can make the decision to say, okay, I'm being falsely accused right now, badly, but I'm going to humble myself and go through the process. And then I'm telling you, God will exalt you. God Almighty will see to it that you don't stay looking that way, but he will bring you to the top. That's in every aspect. It works in every aspect. It works in the school that you're at, in everything. You choose the lower route, and it hurts. And I mean,
you gotta swallow your
pride. Yeah, it's not easy.
I'm not. Flesh under.
You know, it's like you gotta put that flesh under because the flesh wants to talk back. The flesh wants to be like, wait a second. Oh no, you didn't. We're gonna set you straight right now. But you gotta make the decision to say, okay, I'm gonna be quiet. You know, I remember I worked for someone, and I feel like I, and people might agree, but I do like things a certain way, you know, and I understand that he liked things a certain way, but I did it to the best of my ability, and I would look at what I would write to send out, and I was like, this is excellent. It can't get any better than this. But he would look at it, and he had, I mean, the spirit of excellence at a whole nother level. He would look at it, and kind of go like this, really quietly. And then kind of look at me, and I'm like, it's good, you know? Like, that's what I'm thinking. I'm like, I know it's good. And he would just kind of take a while, and I'm like, what? I start getting nervous. Like, what's the problem? What are you seeing? And then he would say, yeah, you know what? I really think that we need to change this sentence. It's just, it's not worded right, and you need to, you know, space it down to a little bit. You need to cut this out. Basically, he like took 5 minutes ripping apart like my work. And I'm like, really, I got him like in me. I'm like, oh no, he didn't. So then I take it back. I'm like, okay, yes, sir. As I swallow. And then I take it back, and then I do the changes. I give it to him with the changes. And I kid you not, you can take it to the bank. He had something else to complain about. So then he's like, yeah, I see those changes you made, and it's definitely better. But did you notice there was supposed to be a comma right here and an apostrophe? I'm like, oh my God! Like I just had to keep swallowing. And honestly, at the end of the day, if I could be honest, it was better with his little, you know, with his super eye of like perfection.
Plus,
it was better. But even if it wasn't,
it did something with you.
Yes,
too.
It was killing the flesh badly. I'm talking about, my goodness, crucifying it. Because you want to be like, hey, I did that really good. I took time on it, and now you're gonna nitpick, but you can't, you know. And so it's a decision you make. It's in the workplace, you know, in your marriage, you know, with all everything. It's such a practical thing that you can use in every day, and you'll be happier at the
and
end.
And it's so easy to say, well, I deserve better than that. Yeah. I did my best, and
it's not good.
Who
enough
are you to tell me I put 2 hours into it? You fix it. You know?
Yeah.
And run away or whatever.
That would be bad. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
you lose your job. But that's how people go, like from one place to the next, from one church to the next, from one friend to the next, you know?
Offended about everything.
Because nobody's perfect. We understand. Yeah. We know that. But you're going to have a miserable life living like that.
Yeah.
You're going to have to look through some faults, you know, like not see everyone's flaws. And then learn what you said to just take the lower
out. Take the lower out, and at the end, it's fine, you know? And
you might learn something.
You will learn something probably. And even if, let's say, even if you didn't learn anything, like in this case, I was like, well, at the end of the day, if I could be honest, it was a little bit better. Mine was good, but his was better. You know, so at the end of the day, you learn something and you grow and whatever. But many times people miss it when you don't humble yourself, like in a marriage or in instance like that, or in a different relationship. Because we're married.
No, just kidding.
And, you know, if you don't humble yourself, it can cause a lot of pain. It can cause a lot of, you know, it can cause unnecessary damage in a relationship or at your work. It can cause your job, you know.
Yeah.
Like, there's decisions that you make, you know, when you humble yourself, when you choose to, you know, to prefer the other person, prefer your mate, prefer your spouse. You know, in the big picture, you still win. Even, you know, you humbled yourself, but you're winning because your marriage is still thriving. You know, you're not fighting for 3 hours because you want your way and then he wants his way. And you're just going back and forth like, no, I deserve this and I deserve that. And then so it just creates all this unnecessary problems in your life. So the Bible way is always the best way. There are literal blessings to humbling yourself. There are literal rewards for doing what the word says. So number three says humility. So if you're just logging in, I see some new people logging in. We're talking about the blessings of humility. Number one was humility brings favor. Number two is humility brings promotion.
Let me read this one scripture in this one, though.
Okay.
We skipped this one, and this is so good. Proverbs 22:4. It says, the reward, or the blessing, the reward for humility and the fear of the Lord is riches and honor and life.
Wow.
Riches, honor, and life as a result from you simply humbling yourself in situations like
That's
this.
Good.
You want to have abundant life? You better learn to like swallow your words sometimes, you know? To like what the Bible says, be slow to speak, be quick to listen, slow to get angry. What is that? I'm humbling myself to hear from someone. There's safety in counsel. There's safety in, we're getting into wisdom, I guess, but like, riches, honor, and life.
Yes.
You'll always, even riches, you'll always be broke if you don't learn to be humble. Because a prideful man thinks that he knows everything, starts a business, fails, and it's like, why is it failing? Well, it's because of the economy, it's because of this and that. No, it's because there's a better way to do things, and there might be someone that can teach you.
Yeah.
You know? Or in anything, you know? Your job, you get fired. Why do I get fired? Everybody's against me. No, it's not the problem. The problem is that there might be things that you can learn. There's things that you can change.
And it's like the Lord will like orchestrate in your job or wherever you're at, people that just kind of
irritate
you.
The wrong way.
People that might irritate you a little bit, you know? It's like...
You're looking at David again?
I am. Yeah. David is my thorn in the flesh, people. I'm kidding. He really isn't. He's like almost perfect in all of his ways. Almost. You know, let's capitalize on that part.
Humble the pride with that comment.
Yeah. Anyways, it like rubs the, you know, like sandpaper. Like, I don't know how to explain it, but it's like you'll be orchestrated to work with people that maybe rub you the wrong way, but it's good in a way.
And you'll be praying for years asking the Lord to change them.
And God's like, I need to change you. They're actually sent to you to change that little attitude problem or to change those rough spots in your life, you know? So it's good. Enjoy the process. Okay, number three, humility brings wisdom.
Enjoy getting sandpapered. Have fun.
Humility brings wisdom. Proverbs 11:2, when pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with the humble is wisdom. Because the prideful person doesn't want counsel, like you were saying. So it actually affects you in everything, you know, because you need people that are talented, like in different areas around you, or people that see things a different perspective than you. But if you don't want to receive anything that anybody says because you're the know-it-all, then it's actually going to affect everything that you do. You know, there's always going to be somebody. There's this show on Netflix that's like a big deal in America. It's called, it's with this little Asian lady, if you know it, you know what I'm talking about. It's called Tidying Up. She's like the master at cleaning. So I don't know why, but I decided to watch it because all my friends, you know, were posting it. I'm like, I'm going to see what is this like technique, you know? And I mean, she will take, like, you know, you learn how to fold, but then she takes folding to a whole nother level. I mean, she'll put like a shirt, like I still have not mastered the skill, but like she'll put all of the shirts in this like perfect, if anybody knows what I'm talking about.
We should make that mandatory viewing for everyone.
No, but anyways, it's like the art of tidying.
I didn't know about this.
I do.
I enjoyed it for the first time.
You weren't here. But I did. And I mean, she will like put, I mean, it's like perfection. You feel like a, like the sloppiest person in your life when you see the show. But anyways, but if you're too, I'm just throwing that
all the girls are tuning into Netflix now.
No. Don't. Do it afterwards. It's amazing. But anyways, where was I going with this?
I have no idea.
you're learning
how to fold from an aging
girl. Exactly. So if you're too prideful, and you don't want to receive, like, information from other people, you will not be blessed.
You'll always have a trash house if you don't want to.
No, you won't be blessed in everything that you do because there's people that are always going to know how to do things better than you. I know how to fold, but she's got it at a whole nother 100 other levels, you know? So then you can, you know, you can always grow and learn and grab wisdom from different people.
Yeah.
And if you're too prideful to not want to listen to anyone because your way is the best way, then you're losing out.
Yeah, and even, I think most people watching probably don't have that attitude.
No,
because like,
they're watching.
Well, I already know everything. And like, so, but I think even the reason you're watching this is because you want to sharpen up in your growth in things. But that's also practically, like even in your job, marriage, all these different things. You can read a book and learn so much in a few hours that would take you otherwise many years of just frustration.
Like trial and error.
Trying to figure out, like, there must be a better way to. Mm-hmm. We are not called to just bump our head against the wall all the time. There's a better way. I think Evangelist Jonathan says it like this. He says, you're not meant to live by destruction. God doesn't teach you through destruction. God teaches you through instruction.
Oh, that's good.
I love that quote. Mm-hmm. He doesn't teach you through destruction. It's like I'm making you sick to learn to teach you a lesson. No. I'm keeping you poor so that you... No, none of that. Mm-hmm. He's teaching you through instruction that you may learn to live by every word from the mouth of God. So God has given us those instructions.
Yes.
And what is it? It's a book of wisdom.
Yes.
It fills us with wisdom.
That's right.
Wisdom is... knowing, see, knowledge alone is not good enough. Knowledge knows what to do. Wisdom has a plan of action to apply the knowledge. Wisdom is really applied knowledge, knowing how to apply what you already know. So we need wisdom in our life. And the Bible says in James 1:5, says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives liberally.
Yeah.
But in order to ask for anything, you have to be humble.
Yes.
Like me in the car. I'm not asking anyone for directions. Because I know where to go. I'm going to figure it out.
3 hours later, he's going to figure it out.
No. I figured it out. So there's been moments that I've been humbled. I've been frustrated and irritated. And finally, I have to listen to her or to...
Not me. I'm like the worst directionally.
Yeah.
If I say right, just go left. I'm telling you.
But you'd be so confident.
Like, I'd be like, baby, I think it's a right. And
No, you won't say I think. You're like, it's a right. I know it's a right. Like, have you ever been here? No. How are you so confident? I just know. I'm like, no, I'm not listening to you.
You just like, if I say one way, just go the other way. Okay, that actually brings us to our next point. Number four is with humility comes direction.
You just cut me off, but I'll humble myself.
Because you were talking about that.
No, it's fine.
I'm sorry.
Fine. I'll humble myself. It's okay.
I'm going to be quiet.
I'm teasing. I'm messing around.
Okay. With humility comes direction. So Psalms 25:9 says, he guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. So this goes exactly with that car thing. If you're always lost and you're not asking for directions, that's a form of pride. We need to humble ourselves, receive direction, receive instruction from the Word of God, firstly, for your life. You know, what is that there's a saying that says, you don't get God's unknown will until you start doing his known will. Do you know that one?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You basically, you won't receive God's unknown will for your life. Like, who am I going to marry is God's unknown, you know, it's not known in the word. You won't receive God's unknown will or the unknown will for your life until you start doing his known will. So first, we need to do what he's already said, follow the instructions of the word of God, do that, then he'll be able to, we're in a position to really receive and hear the unknown things, like who am I going to marry, where am I going to live, what work am I going to go to, you know, what job, career, maybe you're in school, what path should I go, should I go into nursing, should I go into teaching, you know, like all of these different things that people have questions on, those things will come, but we first need to be doing the will of God, because the known will of God, which comes through his word, because that gives us the wisdom, shows us direction, and then we'll begin to be able to have an ear to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to you personally.
And the Bible says that his word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our pathway. Yes. So because you're pressing into the word, you can expect to be rewarded with direction for your life.
That's right.
You can expect that you are a sheep, that you hear his voice, that he's leading you in the way you should go. Yeah. There's a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it.
Yeah.
So you, because you serve the Lord, because you're humble to press into the word, because you want to learn, because you want to grow, and because you want to apply that, because you're asking for wisdom, because you're humbling yourself, you're getting promoted, you can expect promotion, you can expect wisdom, you can expect direction. You stop saying, I don't know what to do, I don't know what to do, I really don't know. Stop that. You do know what to do, because the Bible says we have the mind of Christ and we know all things.
Amen.
Okay, the anointing inside of you is teaching you all things. And if you're humble enough to look at the Holy Ghost on the inside of you and let him flow through you, then you can step in. Sometimes people are so nervous about missing God. Oh, what if I... You have the Holy Spirit inside of you. When you miss God, you know. You really know because you get grieved. But then you have to put your pride aside and say, oh man, I missed it. Let me take a step back. Let me repent. Let me move back again and back to where I was, where I last heard him. And then, because pride won't admit their own mistake. It's like, oh, I didn't make a mistake. I'm fine. I'm totally fine. I'm okay. But you know on the inside something is wrong. Something is missing. So humility will take a step back and say, hey, I missed it somewhere. Let me ask the Lord for some fresh direction. And let me humble myself. Let me repent. Lord, if I've made any mistakes. Lord, if I've grieved you anywhere. Holy Spirit, if I've grieved you anywhere, I'm sorry. That's never my intention. I thank you. That I need you, Lord. I thank you that you're in my life. I thank you that you show me the way to go. I thank you I'm your sheep. I hear your voice.
Amen.
I'm not a goat. I don't want to buck up against what you're saying. I want to humble myself. Israel, in the time of Stephen, you know, Stephen was God was doing many miracles and signs and wonders through Stephen. And he started preaching. And there was all these people that heard his preaching. They saw the miracles that he did. But they refused to listen. They hardened their heart. And Stephen said, oh, you hard neck, stiff neck, hard of heart, uncircumcised of ears. Why do you always resist the Holy Spirit? Pride resists. Mm-hmm. When you resist God, God resists you. When you humble yourself, God is humble enough to bless you. To exalt. So they resisted God. And resisted the Holy Spirit, and then they picked up stones and they killed Stephen. You know, they hardened themselves. They bucked against the word of God. They did not want to listen. They plugged up their ears. They said, "We don't want to hear the truth. We don't want to learn. We don't want to grow. We don't want this because our way is right." And you know, the end of that is death. You know, the end of that is destruction. But you're not like that. You are humble. You are in the word.
Yes.
You're planted along the river banks. You bear fruit in every season.
Amen.
You hear his voice.
Amen.
The voice of a stranger you will not follow. You can expect promotion. You can expect supernatural favor. You can expect riches, honor, and life.
Yes.
You can expect wisdom. You know,
direction.
Just even in situations where you don't know what to do, you'll just know what to do.
Yes.
You just know because you got the Holy Ghost inside of you, giving you the wisdom. Lord, I need your wisdom. I thank you.
Yeah.
And poof, you just know.
Yeah, and the Bible says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who will give to him liberally. So you have more than enough wisdom for whatever you need.
Yeah.
Amen. Wisdom in raising your kids. Wisdom in everything.
And then he guides your steps.
Yes.
Like just every step.
Amen.
You just know, like, okay. And you just stay faithful taking those steps. Sometimes you want to take all these big leaps forward. But God asks us to walk with Him. He doesn't say leap with Him. He says walk with Him. So it's taking steps. And it's those steps of humility, those steps of faithfulness, those steps of just serving God, serving mankind, that like you're looking back at the end of this year, you'll see that you've taken major strides forward.
Amen. We needed to pray for someone on the broadcast. Can you guys pull up that comment?
Yeah, Sharon, her son is...
I didn't read it. Hi, Sharon, if you're still with us, we're going to pray, come in agreement.
With the autistic, I think, something, and like there's unrest in the home. I think I remember
it.
That.
I didn't read it.
Scroll down.
You can't find it?
Because we refreshed it at one point. That's okay. I remember.
It's
we just
okay.
Pray.
He kind of remembers.
I just pray for the peace of God.
Yes,
Father, in the name of
Lord.
Jesus, we ask for, we pray for Sharon and her whole house, Lord. We speak
thank
the peace
Jesus.
Of God
yes.
in her home in the name
thank
of Jesus.
Lord.
We speak the peace of God on her son.
Thank
every
you.
Lying thing that is working in her home,
yes.
I speak peace now
yes.
in Jesus'
thank
name.
You,
I bind every attack. I put
yes.
it to stop now
you,
in the
Jesus.
Name of Jesus. And I thank
you,
Lord.
You,
her home will be a place of peace.
Yes.
I thank you, Lord, for your hand upon her son, Lord.
Yes.
Your hand upon her family, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that your goodness flows out of that place, Lord. I thank you, Father, that you
thank
turn
you.
This whole situation around. I thank you for mercy on that home in the
thank
name
you,
of
Lord.
Jesus
yes.
Christ. I thank you, Holy Spirit, even right now, yes. you go and bring your peace, Lord,
thank
to this family
yes.
in Jesus' name. I thank
yes.
you for supernatural turnaround. I thank
yes.
you, Lord, for working it all around
yes.
for their good, Lord.
Hallelujah.
I thank you, Lord, for rest in their bodies, rest in their minds, the peace of God flooding their mind and heart. I thank you, Lord, that we can cast every care
thank
on you. Because you care for us. You care for that family, Lord.
Thank
in
you.
Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord. Now we pray for all of the viewers. We thank you, Lord, that we've committed our ways unto you, Lord.
Yes,
we've
Lord,
committed
you.
Ourselves to you and submitted ourselves to you, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that this year will be a year like no other.
Thank
you, Lord.
Jesus.
It's the first quarter of the
thank
year.
You,
we thank you for everything that you've done. We thank you, Lord, that you
thank
keep
you,
surrounding
Jesus.
Your people
thank
with
you,
favor.
Thank
you, Lord, that you keep promoting them. You keep honoring them. Thank you, Lord. Your word says that those that honor you, you will honor them. I thank you, Lord, as we've put you first, as we've sought the kingdom of God first.
Thank
I thank you,
Lord.
That you will add onto
thank
every
you,
viewer,
Jesus.
Onto all of those that are seeking your kingdom first. You'll add onto them, Lord. All these things will be added onto them. Lord, we thank you that this week will be a week of favor, of supernatural breakthroughs. Thank you, Lord,
thank
for
you,
putting
Lord.
Your people on top in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, that the world will see them and say, man, there's something different about them. They stand out in their workplace, in their school, as a mom, that the children stand out because of your hand upon them. In Jesus' mighty name, we thank you for it. And we
amen.
Rejoice. Amen.
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 Awesome.
Bless you guys.
Trust
hi, Abraham.
Trust is also a blessing for you guys.
Hi, Julia. Hi, Sharon. Hi, Susan. Hi, everybody.
Let us know how it goes.
Hi, Jacoba.
Sure. Let
yes.
us know how it goes with your son.
Stay in touch with us.
Yeah.
Hi, Raquel. I think I say it right. It's Raquel.
No, it's, I learned on Monday.
What is
Rachel.
It? Rachel. That, am I saying it right? Tell me. Thumbs up or thumbs down?
Rachel.
Rachel.
With a hard G.
Come
said.
On. Thumbs up. Rachel.
Rachel.
Rachel. All right, guys.
I think you got three thumbs down.
Really? I haven't seen a reaction.
No, there was no reaction. Yet. She
right.
doesn't want to disrespect.
She doesn't
She's
want...
humble enough to.
Oh, whatever.
So you can call me whatever
you okay. want. Okay. Love you guys. We're going to leave you here.
Hey, Miss Vera. Good to see you.
Hi, Vita.
Abraham. My Ethiopian brother.
Hi, Miriam.
Hey, Jacoba. Good to see you.
If there's a topic that you all want us to talk about on Wednesdays,
something you would love to
like
maybe
hear,
you have questions about,
yeah,
or
message us.
Send us a little private message or something, or
or on here, whatever.
Or post it here. Yeah.
Yes, let us know, and we will talk about it in the near future.
Like something maybe you like have questions about,
yeah,
or something
unsure.
You're running into,
yeah,
you know, something that like,
yeah,
you would like some wisdom on, or
yeah. One of these days we're going to
Hey, Michael.
Thing. Hey, Michael.
Good to see
love
you.
Love you too.
Love you, man.
So let
funny
us know.
Funny couple. Funny looking.
I'm not funny looking. No, you get funny looking husband. No, I'm kidding.
You married me, so.
I'm joking.
What does it say about you?
Everyone sees the perfection.
Whatever.
Well.
It's getting awkward.
It's getting awkward.
Bye.
Love you guys.
Love you all.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. If you enjoyed, share it on your social media and tag us at River Amsterdam. If you want to be notified of new podcasts when they're released, just subscribe. And while you're at it, leave a review and let us know how this podcast is impacting your life. We'll see you next week on the River Amsterdam podcast.